messed up.
Well, you know, this is Florida, and you never know what is going to happen from time to time. We started off great. Everything is confirmed that it's fine. And then, poof, we're off. But anyway, we're back on. Hello. I hope you're okay out there. So, what do we have today? We're going to be talking about chaos, crises, and the troubled mind of Donald Trump. An administration still not yet fully formed and functional, more than a year after he's taken office, and with a revolving door almost off its hinges. Nepotism, cronyism, and corruption abound under an inexperienced leader whose ego needs supplant the needs of the nation. His needs come first. It worries the nation a great deal, as you can see. We are living under the constant threat of war. He wants a war, he will have a war. We're dealing with an uncertain future, the rising tide of hatred, and the emergence of a fascistic national mindset that is meant to redefine what it means to be American. And everywhere, the constant is chaos and crisis. President Donald Trump's natural and preferred habitat, his preferred way of doing things, his preferred way of being. We cannot function normally as a nation when the leader has shown time and again that he isn't normal. He is quite abnormal. And even though we can see that in Congress, in his cabinet, we've seen record numbers of people getting out, leaving this administration, moving on, resigning, or being fired because they turn out not to be compatible with Mr. Trump and his way of seeing and doing things. And yet, this nation does not consider this a crisis. They consider what he's doing a crisis, but they don't consider him a crisis. It's an amazing thing. And even those who are leaving, or those who have been fired, or those who are soon going to be out of his administration, one way or the other, there is no public discussion about the real crisis. The real crisis is Donald Trump. We've talked about this many times. They are seeing it. They're seeing the results of this so-called leader and the minions he has brought along to surround himself with, and his attitude that America is his own private personal property to do with it, to do with whatever it is he chooses to do. Nobody is supposed to tell him anything. He doesn't have to follow any laws. He's a president. He bought the presidency. It's his. It's his property. And he doesn't have to familiarize himself with the laws that apply even to him. There's no need because he knows everything. And yet we see the evidence before us every single day that the country is in disarray. People are very uncertain about the future. people are very unhappy because they don't know when the next shoe is going to drop. And yet nobody would say that the real crisis that America faces right now is that we have a very unstable and unqualified and unfit person in the White House. And when you look at all of these crises now that are full-fledged, you see that he's at the center of every single one of them. So are we going to continue to pretend that there isn't an unstable man in the White House, a mentally unstable person in the White House, a person completely unfit for this job? And that some kind of a committee, some kind of action needs to be taken to openly discuss this question. This is, in fact, the constitutional crisis that the country is facing. This president does not qualify for the job, not intellectually, not psychologically, not experientially. In no way is he fit. And in order to make himself comfortable, he has brought on people. He has surrounded himself with people who won't challenge him and who don't have the integrity to step up to the plate and say, "Hey, folks, don't say I didn't tell you, but this country is in really bad hands. The Congress is acting as if it doesn't know anything. It can't see anything. It doesn't know anything. Therefore, it does nothing." And we hear the silly refrains as if all you have to do, as Maxine Waters would have us do, is just say, "Impeach 45! Impeach 45! That's not how this is done. There's a serious effort to be undertaken here, I think, especially by members of Congress, who should raise publicly the question and deal with it publicly. The country is in the hands of an unfit president. I mean, we were supposed to be already at war in Syria again. And today he's promising that there will be so many bombs and so forth. You know, this kind of silly, juvenile talk. A very serious matter. With the assumption that it all will be a one-way street. It is about the U.S. exercising power, as if countries are going to sit by and let themselves be targeted. And nobody's rating this guy in. We do know that the American Psychological Association and leading psychiatrists and psychologists have already said there's reason to be gravely concerned about a person who is not solid in his mind. There's reason to be concerned about that because he is the head of state. It's as if they said nothing. You know, people are coming up with these limp explanations. Well, he won, he ran for office and he won. So what? I could run for office. If it comes to that, I could run for office. Am I the best person to run for office? Absolutely not. But we are not seeing in Congress, particularly, and even in the media, this question about the mental acuity of the president has just not been the center of attention or discussion. And yet we're getting so many hints every single day. So many wrongs are being committed for which he is singularly and solely responsible. He's taking us all down with him, and he feels entitled to do that. So, are we going to have an open discussion about the crisis this country is in? Because our head of state, his head ain't right. It's not right. And yes, he looks like he looks like he's well. But you and I know from the things that Trump says and the things that he does, we really ought to be concerned. Because the kinds of errors he is making, these things are not easily reversible. And in some cases, they're not reversible at all. And he seems to delight. It seems like he goes to bed thinking, what mischief can I make tomorrow so that I can draw attention to myself as the hard-nosed, hard-lined new president who is just not taking this lily-livered approach to governing anymore? This is a crisis. Now, when a guy tells you, and this person is the head, the chief, our chief person, our commander in chief of the United States, is publicly saying, not just to us, but to the rest of the world, you better expect a whole bunch of missiles coming to you. He has declared war. He actually has declared war all by himself. And we go along, we just saying, well, that's Trump, he just talks a lot, but he doesn't mean this. Here's the thing. We need to understand that other countries are not interpreting this the same way. The president has declared war. This is not the first time. He has vowed to bomb Syria. And life goes on in the United States. He has declared war. He does not have the authority, the constitutional authority to singularly declare war. That's not how it goes. He wakes up in the morning and he feels like, hey, let's have a war. So he declares war. After all, he's Donald Trump. And a mealy-mouthed Congress sits by and allows this to happen, and nobody is sounding the alarm here that we have a renegade president a president who's out of control, a president who doesn't even understand the minimal things that he ought to understand about the Constitution and his powers and rights. He can't declare war. Congress does that. But he has declared war. Now, here we are today. You're going about your business. You're running your errands. You're doing your thing. And the last thing you're thinking is that the president has declared war on a country, precipitating other reactions, like that of Russia. Russia now says, you do anything, we coming after you. When it's a very simple thing to begin with. You need a sane mind who understands how the Constitution works. Nobody apparently has schooled him about that. And then secondly, you cannot blame countries if they should decide to take what we politely call preemptive action. Because you have said you're coming to kill us. You're coming to bomb our country. You did it before. Remember the mother of all bombs? So we have every reason to believe that you mean what you say. So if you're declaring war, you have declared war, you have pronounced that the missiles are coming, we will take you at your word. And now we will take preemptive action, at least we have that option now, because you have declared war. We have the option now to take whatever action we believe is necessary to protect ourselves and defend ourselves. You see how craziness breeds craziness. And today, the newspapers are not really particularly perturbed about this. The television stations, they're not reporting this, that we are at war. We don't see any action in Congress that says, wait a minute, Mr. President, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You can't do that. This is not how the country is run. You're putting every person in the United States of America at severe risk when you shoot your pie hole off like the way you do. And nobody seems, nobody's concerned. It's just Donald Trump. Well, you know he lies a lot, so it's possible he doesn't mean what he says when he says that the missiles are coming. Absolutely, he has declared war. No question about it. And still people are saying he's sane. He's a legitimate president. You know, he won. Am I the only one here in America, walking around today, watching, looking into the sky to find out if anything is falling down, because our president has declared war. And life is just going on. People are catching the bus. They're taking the train, they're shopping, they're doing whatever they want to do in their normal lives. Because that can't be true. Yes, we know he lies a lot. Yes, we know he's quite grandiose about his opinions. But here's the fact. The fact is, the President of the United States has declared war, even though he does not have that authority, but he's done it. And everybody's calm. Because, well, you know, he really didn't mean it when he said it, or he might have said it because he was passionate at that time. All kinds of stupid excuses. And nobody would say it's time to reel this man in and put him in a program that would help him psychologically and emotionally, because he clearly is out of control. Imagine that. All of America today, I think I'm the only one flabbergasted today. All of America is just calm, doing their thing. They're so numb. They're numbed out by this president's incongruous and just insupportable conduct. That today is just another day. Although we are at war, according to him. And in reaction to his pronouncements, in reaction to his warning to the world that the missiles are going to be falling, we have a counteraction. Russia says, you do that, and we're coming after you. And all of the millions and millions of people in all of these countries who will be directly affected by it, we have no say. And we should have a Congress that should have called a meeting since Friday, because he's been muttering about missiles being directed at certain cities in Syria. They gave him all weekend to further, you know, enhance his plan, his war plan. We didn't hear a peep out of Congress. We haven't heard anybody say, all right, enough is enough already. You have to go into some kind of treatment, and you have to be put on ice as president. We can't have you starting wars with your mouth. We can't have you running around just saying things in your head. You're really confronting the enemy. Everybody understands that you are a person in need of serious and deep psychological treatment. I've been saying this since the beginning. You may recall the first thing I said about Donald Trump was, there's something wrong with that man. There's something wrong with him. And people pretended and pretended, and you know, they looked away, they all of that didn't matter. It's like these young people in living in homes and being indulged to the max until one day they decide to blow away 17 people in school. Or little children. The hints are there, the clues are there. The obvious reaction should be call some kind of a meeting that puts this president under some kind of heavy manners so that he doesn't go shooting his silly mouth off and courting global disaster with his mouth. This is not a joke. And even if people in the United States think, well, it's just Donald being Donald, that's not the way the rest of the world would be thinking. The rest of the world is not thinking, well, it's just Donald being Donald. The rest of the world is thinking there will be planes flying over our town or our village, and our children will be dead. Which, of course, is exactly what Trump wants. The idea of fear. He rules by fear. Look at the power I have. Just because I say something, people are reacting and getting all jittery. But let the record reflect that this is not the first time we have had threats. It's just like one of these mass killers. They say things and people just bat it away. And then next thing you know, 57 and 58 people are dead. Oh, I didn't think they meant it. We have checks and balances. The generals won't obey an illegal order. Of course not. But he continues to talk like a maniac. He continues to talk like a person who's out of his head. And technically, the United States officially, at least from the mouth of this president, we are at war again in Syria, where previously, after talk like this, the mother of all bombs was dropped. Think about that. You take a break and come back to your thoughts right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the absolute refusal of members of Congress and other advisors to put the president in check. And we're talking about the reality that out of his mouth, he has declared war again. And life just seems to be going on, no problem. So is it something wrong with us or something wrong with him? But we know that something is wrong. Your comments at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. See, I take these things very seriously, as do many, many, many people. Billions of people in the world take these things very seriously. And even though we have a megalomaniac, somebody ought to be in charge. of keeping this man in check, because his mouth is going to cause us a great deal of pain. Maat, you're on the air from New York.
Greetings to the beloved family. Indeed.
Thank you.
We are dealing with an existential threat, and it's like it's like the walking sleep. I'm finishing up a book called The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump, and they just outline it. It's essays from different mental health care professionals, and with one exception or two, and his being a malignant narcissist, an overblamer, a baby man slash infantile, and on and on. And it's just amazing for us to ask if the Republicans are just a dead party. You don't hear much talk about the Electoral College, three-fifths of a person, and, you know, the South prevailing, or giving people more viable choices, such as the other choice not being the dynasty Clinton idea, as with the Bush dynasty, where people from Skull and Bones and from certain families just line up to rule. It's just a situation where you just really have to shake your head or scratch your head, because this danger, and now, of course, he's very mad now that Stormy Daniels and the raid on Cohen, his personal attorney, the bank fraud, the wire fraud, the election fraud. I mean, this man is such a perpetually angry person that how can you feel safe? Because he's the type of person that would if things aren't going his way, he would just say, well, what's the point? Or let me just destroy it all. I mean, you know, for his finger to be on a nuclear button, that's something that has to be dealt with in terms of one person. You know, even the most one person having that choice, and that's the fact. It's one person.
Yes, but did you wake up this morning and think about the fact that, at least from the mouth of Donald Trump, as he has pronounced to the world or announced to the world, this country is at war? And he said it and he meant it.
I missed that. Did he do it by tweet?
he did tweet saying the missiles will be coming, and, you know, all these threats and so forth. But does it bother you as a citizen that a president will commit the entire country, at least from his head and his words, his writings, his saying, to war? And here we are sitting around saying, well, you know, that's Donald.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's too much of a response. This man, first of all, I want to share that Ray McGovern with Gary earlier looks at these chemical attacks as false flags. John Hogue, the guy who is a specialist on the Nostradamus prophecies, was on Coast last night, and he called it as such. And
but most people who have observed this phenomenon before have repeated their analysis. I'm saying I am concerned that there's a renegade president in the White House who all by himself has declared a war. It is not one of those things you could, you know, take back and say, oops, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean to say that. Once it comes out of your mouth as the head of state, you are at war. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And nobody in Congress, you know, life goes on. Does that bother you?
Of course it does. It's sort of walking around with eternal angst about where we're going and whether the U.S. is being deliberately taken down, you know, is per some a school of thought, if you will. Some say that Trump was the Rothschild's wing and that this is moving toward the one world.
I'm not even going there because it is so clear what he is. He is off his rocker.
His elevator doesn't go up to the top floor, huh?
No, it's not going up to the top floor. And I'm trying to figure out who is going to take charge of this mission to contain this president, put him in a room someplace, you know, feed him every day and so forth, but he should have nothing to say about foreign policy that would commit this country to war. Thanks for calling and getting us started today, Maad. Luis from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, Lou. Hi, how are you, Chase? It's been a long time. Good to talk to you again.
Same here. Thank you for calling in. What are your thoughts?
I want to thank you. I mean, I got up early to go to yoga class, and everybody's walking around like nothing's happened. But I'm 73. Yeah, I mean, I lived through the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I didn't wake up scared. I went to bed scared. I heard this idiot on the radio yesterday. I haven't been so scared since the Cuban Missile Crisis. And during the Cuban Missile Crisis, our president was a spoiled frat boy, but he grew up during the Cuban Missile Crisis, circumvented his military people, and made direct contact with Khrushchev. And I think that's why we're still here today. We were teetering on the brink. And now I went to bed last night, and I woke up this morning feeling just as you, feeling we're teetering on the brink with this crazy person declaring war without consulting Congress, just as a gut reaction to an unsubstantiated report like ones we've heard before about a gas attack. And, you know, I'm wondering whether every minute is going to be my last minute. Tell me, Utrecht, is it true that maybe my people really did lose part of their capacity for reasoning when we lost our melanin?
Now, you've taken this discussion into a whole different idea. I'm saying, let us talk about the unreality that we are experiencing right now. The country, according to the president, he has already declared war. Now, we know what the formality should be. You know, Congress is, the president comes before Congress and asks for a vote, you know, on articles of war, and the Congress formally declares war. The president makes a case for war, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. None of this is happening.
You know, but even during the false flag Gulf of Tonkin resolution, Johnson at least went to Congress, you know, and he, you know, provided this fake evidence, but he had to get approval before, you know, the bombing started. But this person, as you say, is completely out of control. I'm frightened. Listen, hearing your speech at the beginning of the program and your fear is in a strange way comforting, because I'm out here in Roselle, New Jersey, and I think, you know, everybody's going around their about their business. During yoga class, nobody else knew about what I was talking about and just thought I was out of line. But I'm alarmed. I'm really scared, and I think everything you say is true. I agree with you. I thank you for saying it, because there is some comfort in knowing that I'm not the only person in the world feeling this alarm and this anxiety. So thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Luis, for calling. And of course, we have every right to be concerned. We have every right to be worried. We have every right to be thinking, what is going to happen next? You know, because the stakes are so high, and it seems to be a very casual thing with this president.
I couldn't agree with you more strongly.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Eric from Albany, you're on the air.
Hello, Therese.
Hello.
How strange is it when Theresa May is saying that we have to wait for more evidence? You can't make this stuff up.
Does it bother you that technically, because the president has told the world, we are at war? He said the missiles are coming.
Well, it freaks me out, quite frankly. But I think I'm going to go for a bike ride to clear my head.
This is outrageous. And there seems no system of checks and balances here. The president is running the country as if it's, you know, it's his private corporation. And you know what happened many times to his private corporations. They went to bankruptcy. But he's left alone, and he's not confronted. He's not contained.
He's not supervised.
He's not told, you know, hey, this might have been your reality 10 years ago, but things have changed in the United States, and we do things differently.
One would hope so, but oh, man.
Who's going to do it? It's amazing that everything looks so calm today. I was definitely expecting, when you turn on the TV or you turn on your computer, in my case, you would think that there would be brisk discussions in Congress about this renegade president, and he cannot do these things.
They'd rather talk to Jeff Zuckerberg.
Thank you so much, Eric, for your call. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese. Thanks for taking
my
call. Hi.
What are your thoughts?
Well, the only person I've heard mention something to the similar to what you're talking about was I believe I saw an article where Bernie Sanders brought up the topic, and but other than that, I don't see anybody else bringing it up. I think that this country has just become so immune to war in the Middle East that they don't even care. I mean, even when he made the threats to North Korea, it seemed like people couldn't wait for him to attack North Korea. You know, the United States is just war hungry at this point. It's almost like video games, you know, where they would people like to blame video games for a lot of the gun violence in this country, where they try to, you know, explain that, well, since the kids are so immune to all this gore and death on video games, that makes them immune to real-life gun violence. I don't know if that's true or not, but I kind of see it that way, where especially when in regards to who does it really affect? I mean, these are the people in the Middle East. It seems like people in this country really don't care about all that death and misery that's going on over there.
But they will care. For example, the president has declared war, which means that technically, whichever country he targets in his declaration of war now has the right to defend itself because war has been declared. Now, if they should take, as I said before, preemptive action to lessen the impact, as they see it, of war, would you blame them? If somebody were to say, well, we're going to attack the United States, the missiles are coming on Tuesday, And the United States, by Monday, would have a response. War has been declared. This is not a joke. You can't reel it back in and say, never mind, I really didn't mean it. You've declared war. And
exactly.
Even though you did it illegally, you know, you didn't come to Congress to ask them to consider, you know, the Articles of War and for
exactly.
a vote.
Exactly. But the scarier part about it, because I know you try to narrow it down to Donald Trump being unhinged, but I think the scarier reality is that it's not just him. There's a lot of people that are around him that share these views and are supporting him in his effort to move that agenda.
Great. And we know what? We should know that. We should know who these people are. And we can know that by making sure that we say to Donald Trump, you are not the president of the world. You do not run the country all by yourself. And he is the person to put on the offensive right now, because what he did is wrong. And he has done it before. He delivered with the mother of all bombs. He was barely in office. And here he goes again with this kind of talk, loose talk. And one would have hoped that by now there is some kind of an organizational structure that contains a renegade president and even saves him from himself, because it is a way to save the country in a way, because he's off. He apparently doesn't understand how this country is run, what his role as president is, and why he should be very careful about threatening other countries, because it will precipitate, and this is what I'm afraid of, based on any other country, any country that is not disciplined and reacts in a knee-jerk fashion and says, all right, he's declared war, we coming for the U.S. That's how the world wars will start. This is
He's already started a trade war, and those policies are backed. He has people in his administration that back those policies. That's why you saw Cohen.
They back policies, but they're not the president,
exactly.
And they're not Congress, and they don't by themselves make policies.
Exactly.
This is the whole point. So we have the trickle-down effect. The president is a renegade. His administration is behaving like a bunch of renegades. And we have nothing but silence.
And worse than silence, Dietrich, you having, like just today, I believe it was the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, announced his resignation. They're dropping like flies, because I think they see something coming in the near future that they don't want to be a part of.
They're being cowardly.
Exactly.
You see, they know what the situation is, and they've known it for a long time. They haven't had the guts to face it down. They haven't had the guts to come out and say what it is that is wrong in Congress. They just find ways to get other jobs and make up silly excuses as to why they think it's the perfect time to leave. They think it's the perfect time to leave because the president has gone way over the brink and nobody seems to be able to rein him in. So they're being cowardly, plain and simple. Their job, in fact, is to be proactive. Their job in the interest of the people is to sound the alarm. That's their job. But nobody wants to do it. Thanks for your call. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I just want to remind you to remember that today, least according to the President of the United States, technically, we are at war. And other nations are going to take it seriously, even if we don't. Thanks a lot, and we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.